Very good morning, listeners, as you begin your footy weekend on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. On day 8,723 since the mighty Blue Baggers last held the Premiership Cup aloft, your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best start to your footy weekend on radio today. Your host today, myself, John Allen, joined today by Chris Brownie and Yuri Bilsich. I got it right, Yuri. As always on the program today, we'll look at all the AFL news, Blues news, review the AFL remaining round, including tips, special guest live interviews every week, and today it's the one and only Parko, David Parkin. It's going to be a beauty. We cross live to the hyphen as we do every week, David Rees-Jones, to do our review on the Blues last week, and today on the shirt front. Who's putting their hand up for the senior side in the Blues Magoos in the VFL? Upcoming WA Blues supporter event details and info, as well as Carlton Football Club news. We're going to have our weekly whack every week, but this week we're not going to have a whack. We're going to give a tribute to a magnificent stalwart of the club, Dale Thomas. So look forward to that towards the back end of the show. And we wouldn't be able to put the show together if it wasn't from help from our sponsors and friends. Yuri, how are you this morning, first thing?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you, John.
That's good, mate. Who are we going to thank today?
Yeah, so we've got to thank WA Blues, major sponsor Hyundai WA, Platinum Sponsors, Allmark & Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Picture Framers, and the Carlton Football Club, home in WA, Empire at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
Thanks very much for that, Yuri. So now we've covered what we're going to do today and what we do every week. We've covered our sponsors. Before I cross over to Chris, the Carlton Wikipedia Brownie, to have a chat about the AFL news this week, just like to give a big shout out and thank you to our good friends, the AFL Masters, that precede our show for once again being late and getting us off on the... And they left their phone in the studio, a jacket.
Is there anything else? And, yeah, anything else?
You know, the senility is really kicking in with the AFL Masters guys, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, they left their sundial in here and everything, and it's a cloudy day. I think that's why they're a little bit late. But, you know, they were pretty quick to escape. They knew they were in trouble. They got on their Zimmer frames, and it was really funny watching them trying to get down the stairs in those as well.
Lucky the lift was working.
Yeah. So they're in the Akron parking now. No, they're probably on their way home. But if you are listening, AFL Masters, thanks for being late. We love it. And we'll cross over to you now, Chris Brownie, for the AFL News.
Okay, well, I'll first start off on a sad note. The passing of the great Graham Polly Farmer, who died at the age of 84 this week. One of the inaugural AFL Hall of Famers and many, many, many accolades. I'm sure we'll talk about that a bit more in the show. Also was the passing of Frank Bluey Adams, best known for being involved in one of the most brutal collisions in VFL AFL history. He died 84 with long battle of cancer. Also, I don't want to turn this into a Collingwood behavioural section, but Braden Sear, facing sanctions at Collingwood for playing a local basketball game with his mates under the name of Phil Inn while recovering from injury, which I thought was quite good for
that
a Collingwood footballer.
Yeah.
Also, too, Sam Murray, while I'm on the Collingwood theme, fronted the AFL Anti-Doping Tribunal on Thursday, more than 12 months after a positive ASADA match day test. He's effectively served a 12-month provisional suspension, and he's facing a 4-year ban.
Mm.
So they're doing well down there at Collingwood.
Yes.
And while this time of year, it's the time of retirements, and I'll just run through the people that have actually mentioned they're retiring at the moment. Firstly, there's, as John mentioned before, Daisy Thomas, which we'll talk about later. Jared Rafford from Hawthorn, who gets his farewell game this week against Gold Coast. We've got Aaron Sandilands from Fremantle. Nick Smith from the Sydney Swans, Brett DeLidio, GWS, and Dawson Simpson from GWS. Also, we've got Hayden Ballantyne, who he will play his last game, but I'm sure he doesn't want to retire, but may be forced in, so he's open for another contract if anyone else will offer him one.
Snickers bar and a packet of chips.
Yeah. I think that's probably too much.
Just some chips.
So I'm sure we'll hear a few more retirements in the next couple of weeks, but, The AFL news this week was all about the death of the great man, Graham Polly Farmer.
Absolutely.
What a legend, though.
Absolute legend. And just with the East Perth connection with Polly, obviously we got Sid Jackson coming down to the Empire today. Any of you Blue Baggers listening out there, want to meet another great legend.
Living legend of the Carlton.
Living legend of the Carlton Football Club, indeed. And he's going to come down to the Empire, and his mate's driving down to Bunbury this morning to pick him up and drive him up and bring him to the Empire. What a great effort. And we really can't wait to have a chat with him, and we'll probably touch on Polly with him as well. So thanks very much for that, Chris. I've got to say, Sirra, what was he thinking? What was that? You know, with everything that's gone on with the Pies this year, the off-field stuff and that. But I mean, it's I love that sort of stuff, the larrikin stuff, but that's just at this level.
Well, at this level, people know him.
Unbelievable.
And he's playing Division 3 at Greensboro with his mates. I understand that, but you're out injured recovering, and you put down your name as Phil in. I like that. That was a good
touch. They've just said, get him in. beautiful. So, Yuri, let's go quickly, please.
Yes.
Rattle through the upcoming games of the round, and we'll go do some tips quickly.
Sure, yeah. So, first game, the
Blues.
Blues.
Mighty Blue Baggers, yes. And yes, I am going to be tipping Carlton by a couple of goals. Brisbane Geelong at the Gabba. Brisbane by 2-3 goals. Crows Collingwood at the Adelaide.
What about the rest of us, Yuri?
Sorry. Yep.
Lions because it's at the Gabba.
Richie's getting ahead of himself, isn't he? What a great round. Two versus one.
Great.
Lions versus Cats. I definitely like the Lions in that one, but anything could happen. Great game.
The twilight game today between Adelaide and Collingwood at the Adelaide Oval. I'd say it would be very close, but Crows by a couple of goals for mine.
This pains me, but Pies.
I have no idea with this one.
I only Ninth said versus Pies because fifth. It's Adelaide.
Adelaide fighting for the eight. Yeah. I think Pies. Yeah. And I think I'm half hoping Pies. Yeah. I think Port are playing great. I hope they sneak in the eight. I hate Port.
I reckon
but,
Port
you know,
will stay in the eight.
I just think, we need the Crows to finish as low as possible.
Correct.
So, great.
Yes,
correct.
The high draft pick.
Well, I'll shut up now next.
Yes. Okay, the first Saturday night game, North Melbourne and Port Adelaide at Marvel Stadium. Port Adelaide wins this. They can cement themselves a final spot, and I reckon they will by 3 goals for mine.
I think it'll be close. I think it's just too much on the line for Power, so I'll go for them.
Yeah, I'm going for the Power at Marvel.
Fremantle Essendon at Optus Stadium. Both Aaron Sadlands and Hayden Ballantyne, as mentioned, their farewell games, and I reckon Fremantle will do the job for them.
Yeah, I can't see the Bombers bouncing back from last week's humiliation.
Yeah.
The only thing that'll do the Dockers in is playing Ballantyne. And
might be me, you think?
Very emotional. I'll say the Dockers.
Yeah.
Richmond West Coast tomorrow, the early game at the MCG, which potentially could be a grand final preview. I reckon West Coast away from home by a goal.
Tough one. Now that they've lost their ruckman and Curvis at Tigers, I'm still going to stick with them just because it's there at the G.
Again, great game. Four versus three. What a round. I'm going to go for, even though Eagles are 3, Tigers 4, I reckon it's an upset for the Eagles to win. They play well at the G. Yep. I just think the Eagles might get over them.
Yep.
GWS Western Bulldogs tomorrow at Giants Stadium. No Jeremy Cameron again for the second of 3 weeks. And it should be very close. The Doggies have a lot to play for as well. I think Giants by about a couple of goals, but wouldn't surprise me if the Dogs win.
Jeez, the Doggies always play well against the Giants. They've beaten them on numerous occasions. I'm just going to go Giants because they just have to.
Yes.
Nah, Doggies are going to win this easily.
And the last match, for round 22, Hawthorn Gold Coast at Marvel, and pretty straightforward, Hawks for mine.
What were the odds again for this match?
$1.05 to $11. Yeah. I think it's the most lopsided odds for this season.
I'll go Hawks.
I've got to get on it. Just in case. They all break their leg in the race on the way up, but Hawks.
Hawks easy.
Righto. So any injury updates, and can you just go through the ins and outs for the Blues this week, please?
Okay, ins and outs. There's two. Kennedy and Dow come in for Jones, who's injured with that throat injury, and Lang, who's been omitted. Emergencies are Goddard, Phillips, Fasolo and Lang. Our current injury list, which is David Cunningham, is still a test on that knee. You got Kim LeBoy 2 weeks, which is virtually the season. And all these are out. Liam Jones, Charlie Curnow, Patrick Kerr, Sam Doherty, Caleb Marchbank and Tom Williamson all out for the season.
Nice one, mate. And just quickly, I'll do the milestones.
Yep.
Nick Newman, 50 games of AFL. Crippers, 100th, obviously.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And Dale Thomas, 100th game as a Blue. First person to become a player to have played 100 games for both Collingwood and the Carlton Football Club. So good luck to Daisy, especially.
Yeah, for sure. God,
we fell in love with him over the years. It was hard at the beginning, but he endeared.
Persevered through the injury as well, the ankle problems they had.
Heart and soul.
Yes.
So we love him. So wish him all the best in the after Blues life as well. Other Blues news?
Mate, well, the biggest announcement of the Blues news is David Toot Toot get on the train, announced as head coach for the next 3 years.
Chugga, chugga, chugga. Yeah,
and he becomes the 34th coach of our great football club.
Indeed.
Great. I'm looking forward to it, seriously. I think the one thing that's sort of forgotten is that he was an assistant for 12 seasons. That's what's been, put under the rug. So it's not like he's just been, assistant for a year and be like, oh, let's just give him the job right now. This has taken years of work.
So no training wheels he had?
No training wheels at all. I don't know where that
and those first three came from. Those first 3 years as assistant, he was coaching the Bull Ants, as it was back
2010.
Then, our Magoos, and took them off the bottom of the ladder into successive grand final.
Yeah,
good luck, Teague, today and for the next 3 years.
Yep. There was a report last night. Patrick Cripps has reportedly signed one of the biggest endorsement deals in the game's history with footwear giant Nike. The Nike for Life deal reported to be a six-figure sum to wear their footwear for the rest of his playing days. Now, that should be interesting when it's reported that the club will be sponsored by Puma for the next 10 years, starting 2020.
Yes.
We're not going to have another Cooter thing with Adidas, are we, back in the days when Nike took us over?
I hope so. Controversial, exciting. Bring it on. Righto, we're going to quickly go through the review from last week's game. Unfortunately, we did go down to the Tigers. But by 28 points, probably should have been 22, as we've all been speculating madly on social media. But anyway, look, led by Liam Jones, Jacob Wiedering and Cade Simpson, we did fight admirably in difficult conditions, falling by 28 points to a seasoned and classier Richmond at the G last Sunday. In Liam Jones' return, he was thrown in the action early as the Tigers surged forward repeatedly. We held our own in the back line with veteran Cade Simpson pivotal in Carlton's defensive efforts. A goal to the Tigers with seconds remaining saw us take an 18-point lead into the first break. The rain got heavier. The opportunities to score began to dry up in the second quarter. SPS stood tall and provided us plenty of run off half-back. We were able to send the ball inside their forward 50 a number of times, but we couldn't capitalise, unfortunately. So the breakthrough did finally come when the tractor, Matty Cruiser, he showed great skills in wet weather for a big man to finish for the Blues' first goal, and we were 28 points at half-time down. In the third, Wiedering and Jones continued to battle gallantly, as they do in defence. They didn't allow Lynch or Riewoldt any easy possessions. Mark Murphy did one of his trademark check sides from the boundary to cap off a great goal and a really good turn for the Blues. We were able to wrestle back some momentum from the Tigers. Mitch McGovern also found the scoreboard, a bit of a boost of confidence for him. For the returning enigma, Mitch McGovern. Around the contest, Curnow and Cripper fought hard. They collected 26 disposals each by the final change. Look, as has been for the last couple of weeks, inaccuracy once again hurt us in the last quarter. This is something that needs to be addressed. But anyway, we would make a comeback, try to, but it was too difficult in the conditions. So we didn't throw in the towel at any stage of the game. We were reignited by a big tackle from McGovern late in the term. And despite our spirit, though, our time wasn't on our side. So a dubious goal after the sign, as a previous mention, led it to being a 28-point victory for the Tigers, a margin that did not reflect the closeness of the battle.
True.
So moment of the match for me, I pinched this one off the website, actually, and I agree with it. Look, it was easy to see the emotion present in this game for Mitch McGovern after a month off at the Fat Farm. A 23-year-old's passionate celebration after a hard-earned goal just showed what the game meant to him personally, thumping the chest over the monogram. His second of the game also brought us within 17 points. So that was great for him. A couple of things we learned, or three things that we learned. SPS, mate, his move to the half-back line continues to show plenty of promise. Liam Jones is an emotional rock. That's the second thing I learned. Following the grief of losing his mother, his magnificent season continued. He was able to hold the informed Jack Riewoldt to just 2 goals. The last thing I would say of the three things we learned, Cade Simpson. He was monumental, playing as a spare man in defence, providing great launching pad for the Blues, using all of his experience to read the play, rebounding a game-high 9 times, as well as collecting 33 disposals, the old boy. So a couple of goals to McGovern and some singles there to Cruiser, Murphy, Caswell and Gibbons. Best for us there, Jones, Wiedering, Simpson, Thomas, SPS. The only injuries was Liam Jones with that throat. So he's out for the rest of the year. No reports. And we are going to go to our first break, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, everyone. When we come back, Parko. We're going to have David Parko live online, and we're going to have a chat to him about life, football, where it all began, everything in between, and what he's up to now. Go Blues.
Go Blues.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to 91.3 Sport FM with Breakfast with the Blues. Well, now let's get on to our Northern Blues review with Chris.
No worries, Yuri. Well, with finals football still on the line for Northern, they unfortunately succumbed to the Tigers by 44 points at the G last Sunday. Despite the Tigers' midfielders getting first use from the outset, Matthew Kennedy battled manfully in the middle of the ground to get some movement for the Blues. Liam Stocker got Northern's first for the day after some unselfishness from Tom Taconing, but it was Richmond who took a 37-point lead into quarter time. Northern started the second quarter with the first two goals of the term through Alex Johnson and Cam Paulson on the back of strong forward line pressure. However, Richmond had all the answers and were able to generate quick ball movement to kick four unanswered goals to take a 50-point lead at the main change. The third quarter belonged to Northern, with the Blues coming out with an attacking mindset and quick ball movement. Stocker kicked his second of the day, while Ben Silvani showed some positive signs when swung into the forward line. Paddy Dow's run and dash in the middle had the Blues winning the ball out of the centre more frequently, but Richmond was still able to maintain its intensity around the ground to go in at three-quarter time with a 37-point lead. Named captain for the day, Kennedy continued to lead the way in the middle, completing and running both ways to finish the day with 28 disposals. Despite DeConning and Silvani's both recording multiple goals, it wasn't enough as Richmond kicked five last-quarter goals to run away with a 44-point victory. Goals, DeConning, Johnson, Silvani and Stocker two each, with singles to Hill, Loeb, O'Dwyer and Paulson. Best, Kennedy, Stocker, DeConning and Dow. Who's putting their hand up? Kennedy, DeConning, Stocker, Dow and Silvani. Now, Northern play Box Hill Hawks tomorrow at Box Hill City Oval, and with two games remaining, Northern need to win both and hope some results go their way to make the finals. Mm. But a disappointing effort for the Blues.
So, Chris, obviously Kennedy and Dow back in, but back Stocker, in. I'd love to see him come in for the last game, especially now with Daisy being shelved. he's going to be a great halfback option for us and hard kid. See him in there for the last game. He's been playing very well.
Also, and when he was put on the ball, he just helped Northern so much with his heart and his ferocity at the ball. So I totally agree. He should come back in for the last game.
Absolutely. And sorry for my delay to the second segment there, but we've got the great man on the line. I'll just bring him in. But before we do, just where's my run sheet gone, Yuri? What's going on? It's all here. So this guy, obviously... he's one of the most respected and revered figures in the history of the Carlton Football Club. He may never have pulled on the famous monogram, however, coaching three flags in 15 interrupted years, including the famous 81-82 back-to-back, endeared him to the faithful and forever etched his name in footy folklore amongst those of us who bleed old dark navy blue. David Parkin, a very good morning to you and welcome for the first time to Breakfast with the Blues.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's very kind of you. I'm sorry I had trouble getting through, but you won't believe this, but I had Barry Armstrong on the phone the first time, one of the great Carlton players who's doing some work in the fitness area and was looking to hire some of my students from Deakin. And prior to that, I had a day yesterday with Ken Hunter and Ken Sheldon, the two great Kens. We went down to a fellow called Don Matheson. The Matheson brothers have been great supporters of the Carlton Footy Club. And Don's got a magnificent farm down on the Ballarine Peninsula down at Drysdale. And we had a day looking at Don's place and spending some time with two of my great players and great friends of the past. So it's funny how the world works, isn't it?
Well, not a bad bacon and eggs there. Nice work. But Kenny, aren't
they? Yeah, well, Kenny's... We know has had some difficulties with mind and mental health issues, and he's on top of it now. And he and Kenny are doing some great work in that space with businesses and football clubs and all sorts of institutions around that need some direction with regard to what's become a pretty difficult thing in our society these days with young people. So it's good to know that they're doing good things in their lives beyond footy.
Absolutely. And Kenny's a great friend of the WA Blues. He's been on the show here and we've given him some time to talk about what he's doing with the fifth quarter. And, great guy. He's come out of that and he's advocating like all good people do when they come out the other side. So good on you, Kenny. And, mate, thanks again for joining us. Before I throw you to the throngs of the panel, Chris Brownie and Yuri Bilsich, mate, I really have to ask you, from a coaching perspective, can you describe the impact and influence that your relationship with the great John Kennedy had on your coaching career, given that he not only guided you throughout your playing days as a coach, but you became an assistant coach under him before he stood down in 76 after winning the premiership, anoints you, such was his influence then, as the new coach. Then 2 years later in 78, you as a favourite son of the Hawks, you take the mustard pots to a premiership glory. So tell us a bit about the great man's influence on you as a coach.
And can I say still today, John lost his wife Dulcie a couple of years ago and really lost the desire to live, etc. And the lovely thing is that every Thursday morning, half a dozen guys go around to his unit in Campbell and we still spend time with this magnificent human being who affected so many of us. And you think I became his assistant coach. I spent a year in the West with Subiaco and had a job offer, so I had to come back. I'd break my contract there, which wasn't much fun at the time, and came back and John offered me the job as his assistant coach, which I was so pleased to take. And then unbeknownst to most people, in 1977, the beginning of 1977, I got this right, he was assisted him in 76 when they went on to win the flag, in 77, in a car park, pre-season training, he tapped me on the shoulders, we're parked next to each other, he said, oh, by the way, you'll be the coach of the Hawthorn Football Club tomorrow. I had no interview, no nothing. So you can imagine, that's totally unexpected, but to have a man like John Kennedy actually hand pass me or give me or underwrite me as the coach of the Hawthorn Football Club without going to interview or do anything like that. So the man has been in so many people's lives, but probably other than my own parents, sometimes I think my mum and dad aren't around to hear me say it, but probably the most influential person, male or female, in my life and continues to be. I have never made a major decision of any kind with regard to career, whether it's in education, because he's an educator, or whether it was in football, without first discussing it with John. He's the most influential person probably in my life.
Oh, thanks for those insights. That's amazing. Amazing level of respect there. And yeah. Chris, over to you, mate. Yeah.
Good morning, David. Chris Browning here. How are you?
Good, thanks, Chris.
That's good, mate. You touched on this just a little bit then, but you began your coaching career or your apprenticeship with Subiaco here in WA in 75 when you were appointed captain coach. And you returned to Victoria the following year with a Bachelor of Physical Education from the University of WA. Two questions. First, how did the move to WA come about? And second, when did you find the time to sleep while studying and coaching a football team?
I didn't do it for most of my time. It's probably why I'm a shambles of a man these days. I was very fortunate, as you probably understand, you're young blokes, but back in those days, the only physical education degree of substance, most people went overseas, as the Western Australians did, was at the University of Western Australia. So all of us harboured to get the best qualification in that area, all ended up, a number of Victorians who came, and you know a lot of them, came to study, Ross Smith being another one. I followed Ross Smith. Basil and Brian Singleton offered me a three-year time. I was coming out, I did my undergraduate degree, and I was going to go on and do my master's afterwards at the university, which had such under the great and late Frank Pike, who was Don's dad, obviously, Don Pike's father, probably the best teacher that I've ever met in my life. So I came over. The sad thing is I had a three-year contract with Subi. We failed to make it. I think I didn't get a clearance. Hawthorn refused a clearance, which I'll never forgive them for, but I didn't play the first. I was a non-playing coach, I think, for the first seven. We played eight teams then. Yeah, I think we played round seven. And we won four of those. I think we're going along all right. And then I decided to play, although I got a clearance from Hawthorn and I couldn't get a kick. I was terrible. And fortunately got knocked out by big ruckman, I should never his name, Murray. He knocked me out and fortunately I retired. And we won, I think, five out of seven on the run home, but we missed out in the finals by percentage. If somebody had knocked me out a few weeks earlier, we probably would have been fine. But anyway, we didn't. And then the job offer came back at the University of Deakin, where I've been the last 40-odd years, came. It was a position that wasn't going to be offered again, so I had to break contract, which I always felt guilty about, but I came back and that was the end of my association there. So it was through Basil Fuller, as you know, is still intimately involved with Subiaco, and he's still one of my great friends to this day.
Fantastic. So we've touched on the great relationship with JK and the apprenticeship over here and then back over to Victoria. Let's get to the really important stuff that all the listeners want to listen to. Carlton. Right. So in October 1980, the Blues announce you as coach days after the Hawks don't renew your contract and announce Alan Jeans as their new head honcho. This is followed immediately by back-to-back premierships in 81 and 82. A couple of WA boys helping out there, and the old Buzz and Kenny. Carlton were pulled out of the
turmoil. And Rossi Ditchburn.
Rossi Ditchburn. He doesn't remember he wouldn't remember a lot of that grand final, though, would he, David?
He doesn't remember any of it. That's absolutely right. He got kinged early. Buzz is very happy about that because he got kinged. Buzz started on the bench and he only got on because Ditchie got knocked out. And then performed magnificently. Buzz was probably one of the key factors. So it's a lovely WA, if you like, connection. And those blokes are still intimately involved. So I spent the day with Kenny Hunter yesterday. But Ditchie, he's doing a bit of work in the men's health area. A lot of work in the men's health area in WA and working with Warriors, that's right. And so I still see Farmer Ditchburn. We still see a fair bit of him too. So, yeah, people forget. And there's a book written now called Legends and Larrikins by a bloke called Dan Eddy. And I was on Dan's back. I said, look, you know, all these great Essendon teams and Brisbane teams and Melbourne teams of the 60s said they all get written about as the great teams, but everybody forgets that Carlton won three out of four 79, because of injury, didn't do so well in 80 in the finish, and 180, 182. But we're starting to recognise that that was one of the greatest groups of footballers
great
that
era.
We've ever seen to get. Yeah, great era in that club. And fortunately, Dan's now written the story, and they're getting some, kudos or recognition for what they did at that time. So, I was just lucky. I walked in, and they were the greatest when I think about what was going on. And I'm finding out more every day when I run into them, the things that were going on. After about 4 weeks, I worked out that the same cars parked in the car park were outside the pub down the road.
Norton's.
On my way home. And Penny took a long while for Penny to drive. I'm a non-drinker, real wowser. So, but I worked that out. And I walked into the pub opposite the university there. I should know the name.
Norton's. Norton's, David.
You know it. Yeah. You're one of them. Yeah. You know it. I walked into Norton's and they're on the business of Tuesday, Thursday night. I gave them the beers to ringing. I reckon I've given any group of blokes anywhere at any time. And that cleared the bar, cleared the hotel, and never drank there. They just went round the other side of the park to the pub on the other side, which I didn't drive past on the way home. So nothing much changed. So how they were an interesting, unbelievable bunch of blokes. I think of all the blokes I've coached anywhere, this was the most interesting, varied, buried in different real characters. You know, you can name them all, and they played very, very hard off the field. But I'd have to think of all the teams that I've been fortunate to coach. No one worked harder, in their preparation, the pre before, and B, in their efforts to get the job done on the weekend. So they were a unique bunch of blokes, and I think the book actually describes them in the manner that we understood from within. The people on the outside had no idea.
Fantastic. Thanks for that, Dave. We'll go over to Yuri for a question.
Sure. Good morning, David. Yuri Belsic here. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Yuri.
So in 1986, you departed ways with the Blues when they and Fitzroy did a coach swap in Robert Walls
I got sacked. Robert Wall resigned. This is true. I got appointed on the Monday night and sacked on the Thursday. Now, I'm still trying to work out what happened between Monday and Thursday to get the sack. But the reality was that Robert was a favourite son. He decided to retire from Fitzroy, where he'd had great success, and he was given my job. As simple as that. The only job left was the Fitzroy job for me, and I didn't have much convincing from Fitzroy, and it was probably 86, my best ever coaching year. People wouldn't understand that. Probably the best year of my coaching. And probably 88, my last year there, my worst year. I lost the players and was a very sad place, and I certainly needed to go. And I was sacked at the end of 88 from Fitzroy. I think that's the story.
So just to finish off my question, you were back at the Blues, though, in 1991 after John Elliott asked you, which you agreed to. And so you're given time to rebuild the club through youth and do it the right way. So now with the Carlton list of 2019, do you see any similarities from that time in 1991 to the 1999 flag to the last, 4 to 5 years as it now stands at Carlton?
95 flag, Gary?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I'm probably not close enough to make a very, accurate judgment, but I think they've chosen, or David Teague, they've chosen. I think the system this year might see the three interim coaches all get the jobs. That Rats maybe at St Kilda, at North with Young Shaw, and now with Teague at Carlton. And you can't get, if you're thinking about it and you're smart, and we haven't been too smart in the selection of coaches sometimes in footy clubs, but I think this system will have the three right people for that club at this time. Appointed for the coaches. So I think he's walked into a quite a talented and developing group. The place is committed. I went to a luncheon for the 79 Premiership. 1,000 people turned up for luncheon. Yeah. The equivalent of, function the year before, 350 turned up. So there's a surge of interest and understanding and commitment both within the club and the playing group, and certainly from the supporters and sponsors, etc. But I'll be very surprised if we don't see a strong and consistent upward climb of the Carlton Football Club in the AFL system. I think it's going to happen.
And just a mildly warm reception for Tiggy at that function,
yes, standing ovation.
Parker.
Well, you probably heard of it. The 1,000 people, other than the board who were sitting in the middle on their tables, they remained seated. But every other person in the place, when Tiggy finished what was a super insight and a very clever interview, they stood and clapped into a man and woman, except for the board who were sitting on the table in the middle, which made me laugh more than anything else. But anyway, it's good decision. Right bloke at the right time. I'm certain that Carlton supporters would sense and feel this, and I hope he will be given all the support he needs to do the job.
Absolutely. Mate, one more very, very quick one. We've only got about a minute, and I don't want to make the hyphen late for the shirt front. Mate, most people will ask, what was your most satisfying flag? I'm going to ask you, what was the most satisfying part of each of the 81, 82 and 95 flags? I think I'll give you more than a minute.
No, you don't need a minute. 95, on the basis that people don't understand, don't believe it, but we put an ownership thing. We had the most experienced, competent and committed group of footballers probably ever played the game in 95. And we were smart enough, not someone to talk into it, because I'm a autocratic dictatorial prick, so I'm not the sort of person who can give it up to other people. But those players, people, just so you know, those players decided who would play. They picked the team each week. They decided how we would play. They sat down and worked out the best method. They debriefed, as every football club does these days. They debriefed their performance individually and collectively. And they decided what values we lived by and what the penalties would be for anybody who didn't live to those values. So how lucky I was, I did naught, seriously, did nothing in that season, other than to manage the group through what was a unique, I would have thought, not only in Australian football, but maybe in Australian sport, full stop, when that group took total ownership over everything and delivered accordingly.
And the back-to-back, just to shorten it, rather than go through each of those, is the back-to-back. What did that mean to you? How did that all sort of come together, especially 82, where you weren't really favourites?
No, that's a good question. You understand that. Yeah, 82 was very, very satisfying because so many things happened to try and derail us, with losing people, suspensions, all sorts of things happened, even running a nude woman on the ground. Everything happened that could have happened to derail us, and we were able to come from a difficult position in that game and win it. And I think probably, you're right, probably the most satisfying final of the lot was 82.
Yeah, one of my most endearing memories watching Helen frolic over to Doyle.
No. A lot of people mistake this, and they say that when she ran on the field that Richmond was on a run on. We were the one with the run on, because that's why Jono was trying to throw her off the ground. So that's
absolutely, you've got it right.
Yep.
No, you've got it absolutely right. Yep. And Bruce Doyle's never recovered, which is really sad.
No worries. He doesn't talk in case they get caught out.
That's right.
Worse than poor old Sticks getting asked about Tammy Wynette every time. Right, mate, it's been absolutely fantastic having you on this morning, Parker. We really do appreciate you coming on to proud of our West Australian Carlton Radio Breakfast program over here. The Blues are still huge over here, and you're as big as ever. So thanks very much for coming on, giving us a bit of your time. And, mate, we miss the veins pumping in the neck big time over here, but you're a legend, mate. Thanks very much for your insights, which have been great. Go the Mighty Blues.
Thanks, mate. All the best.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Parker.
David Parker and everyone.
Great.
Look, we've got to go straight into a break. I could
go on
for another 20 minutes easy.
Yeah.
But we do got to go, and we've got to bring the hyphen on. Yeah. When we do come back, of course, it's time for the shirt front with the one and only David Rees-Jones, the hyphen. Go the Mighty Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues and presented today by myself, John, Chris and Yuri. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great friend of the WA Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, and a man who personifies everything that Bleeding Blue means whilst reviewing the Blues and barrelling shoulder first into the shirt front. Good morning, David Rees-Jones. And, mate, the rainbow lorikeets around the Heatley stand, not as chirpy this week, but it'd be fair to say a good fighting performance against yet another premiership fancy, wasn't it, last week?
Yeah, look, it certainly was. They didn't throw it in, so no, good effort. But yeah, the wins are what counts. But the Teague train finally stopped and everyone boarded this week. So full steam ahead for you know, a new chapter in the life of the Carlton Football Club.
Chugga chugga choo choo, and I'm at the front coach at the bar, standing next to the hyphen, having a couple of ambers, and mate. Again, though, this week, it's been the theme. Wasted opportunities in front of goal. Not quite capitalising on the dominance that we've had when we've had the dominance. So how critical will it be in the off-season now to find one or two good crumbing forwards, Nippy, around 2020 and onwards?
Oh, look, there's no doubt. I mean, they've openly said that they're in the mix for that small forward type, you know, the defensive pressure as much as the goal kicking ability as well. And I think Tom Papley from the Swans is in their sights, and they've got a couple of others. So, yeah, it is an area that we can look at. But I think the club's at the stage now where they've got the list of players they want, and it's just a matter of tinkering around the edges now. So, I'll put it this way, I don't know where Adelaide's going to finish on the ladder. Hopefully, down a bit. But what I do know is that I'd be 99.9% sure that they'll trade that first round draft pick. So they won't be looking to pick up any more youth in the draft this year. I think we've got enough young blokes there, and yeah, it could go, you know, for a Papley or one of those types anyway that they're looking at.
Yeah, well, I don't want to put a smear on Papley, but I think he's going to North Melbourne. Over to you, Yuri.
Yep.
Morning, Hyfe.
That's the rumour, anyway.
Morning, Hyfe. Yuri Bilsic here. How are you going?
Yeah. So there's going to be one of those type of players, though. You know, that they'll be getting the hooks to do it.
Yeah.
And Coniglio, of course, is in the mix as well. You know, to come through the midfield. Sorry.
Morning, Hyfe. Morning, Hyfe. Yuri Bilsic here. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Good.
Good. Just looking back at last Sunday's result, even though we went down by 28 points to the Tigers, both games, round one and last Sunday, sort of had similar outcomes in a way. Richmond led by 40 points early in the second quarter in round one and late in the first half last Sunday by 35 points. And even though we managed to claw our way back into it, we ultimately fell short. Where do you see in both games in 2019 against Richmond that they exploit us in terms of their run and carry and their inside 50 use? Because there was a far wide differential with the two in both matches.
Well, I think you look at their players, the age group of their players, probably, you know, especially right through that midfield and their running type players is probably, you know, in that 24 to 29 sort of mark. Whereas our list is, besides Murph and a couple of others, who are currently age a bit more, but, our young blokes, you know, Walsh 18, 19 sort of thing. And, we're probably 2 or 3 years, you know, below where they're at the moment. And that makes a huge difference, you know, we've got a lot of players who haven't played 50 games yet. So, the Richmond boys, look, they won a flag a couple of years ago and they were premiership favourites by a mile last year until the upset in the preliminary final. And they're just starting to find their feet now. So when you look at that and I think they could possibly take off the flag this year. And when you look at that and say, well, hang on a minute, we're only 4 goals and a bit, off them. It's not a bad state to be in given the youth of our team. And I think that's the exciting thing. I think all Carlton supporters in particular are excited and the crowds are showing that we're getting people to the football and our supporters are turning up and they're buying memberships. So it's great. It's all good at the club at the moment.
Yep. Good morning, David. Chris here. How are you?
Yeah, good.
That's good, mate. David, in recent weeks, the opposition has opted to play a big-bodied opponent on Cripper, and I think the Saints will do a similar thing and play Jack Steele on him. Both are contested players, and the matchup will be crucial to the outcome of the game. Do you think Cripper will need some sort of help from, say, a Kerno, or are you happy to see him go head-to-head with Steele?
Oh, yeah, look, why wouldn't you want to tag Patrick Cripps? He's probably the A-grade inside midfielder in the game at the moment. So, because he plays that inside role, he's very hard to tag because, you know, the guys who play on the outside are a bit easier because you just really got to have the legs to go with them. You've got to get into some pretty heavy, you know, and you can get breezed away very easily by, you know, falling into guys or negating them too much in that inside sort of role. So, Cripp just plays his role. He just gets in there and he's got that see ball, get ball attitude and that's what I think everyone loves about it.
Yeah. Just a quick one, David. Your thoughts on the club not offering a contract to Daisy, forcing him into retirement, but offering Simo a 1-year extension?
Yeah, look, it was going to be the case, I think. They weren't going to take both of them into next year. So they had to make a decision and, Simo won the day and, he's been a great servant of our club for, you know, a long, long period of time. So I think Daisy's been terrific and I hope they can get a win for him today in his 100th game with Carlton, which means he'll get his name on the locker and, he'll be there forever. So,
and father son, David, too. Father son, father son now too.
Yeah. We'll have to let Eddie know about that. I don't know how many kids he's got.
Well, if we get him, I'm sure we will.
He's a fantastic club man, yep, too. He was at Collingwood, and he, you know, put it this way, he pushes it a little bit, but didn't, you know, done all good players sort of thing. So, on and off the ground. But he come to us with a bad ankle. He's managed to get through that. He's not the player he was, but he's been able to adapt to a role. And it really was a leadership role on that back line. And he's, you know, put his body on the line week in, week out for us. So, good luck to Daisy. I hope, good things are ahead of him.
Yeah, agree.
Hey, Harf, it's Yuri again. Just want to talk about Mitch McGovern's season thus far. He missed a month due to getting his conditioning of his body right, and he returned last Sunday booting 2 goals, 2 against Richmond. And he looked pretty good in the forward half. What do you see from next year onwards with Mitch that he can take his game to the next level and how he can really impose himself week in, week out to why Carlton signed him back in October last year.
Yeah, look, you look at players such as Mitch, and guys have got a lot of ability and a lot of talent, and sometimes the penny drops. Sometimes it's forced on him. I think it was a bit with Mitch. I mean, he was told to get off of Andrew Russell for a 3-week fitness type program to get his body, you know, into shape to be able to, you know, perform week in, week out at AFL level. And, you know, hopefully the pennies drop with him that you have to, you know, you might have ability in that, but you still have to work hard. And you know, if the penny has dropped, he's going to be terrific. I thought his first game back last week was terrific. He really did present well. The conditions weren't great for the tall forwards, but, he was presenting well and contesting well, and that's all you want him to do. You know, he's got a good pair of hands. He's going to take his marks when they're there, but if he doesn't mark it, it's going to come down the front. So perhaps it's a little bit more predictable with our smaller parts. So.
Just following his brother's path there, off to the fat farm, come back and dominate for the next 10 years, hopefully. So, Mitchie. Just a quick one before we go, mate. We just had probably our greatest interview ever on the show this year, this season at least, with Parco. Fantastic interview. Mate, he came back to the club in 91. You were still playing there at that time. Have you got a funny insight or memory or anything of Parco? Anything you can, just something that stands out that you remember about him at that time?
Look, I remember when I got to Carlton, and Parco, that was his last year of his first stint there, and to be perfectly honest, I left school when I was 17 to get away from school teachers. I got to Carlton and I ended up with Park and the Walls, you know. I really got too much dirt on David. I had him in my first year at Carlton and my last year in 92, so, and a few other coaches in between. But, he's a great Carlton man. He really does support the club, and he's a great AFL person, and I'm sure you would have got a lot of wise words of wisdom out of him. He doesn't mind having a chat, so
that certainly was the case. Mate, as always, thanks very much for giving us some minutes of your time this morning on a Saturday morning. Blues versus Saints, it's going to be a ripper. I hope you enjoy watching the game. We certainly all are. We got Sid Jackson down at the Empire watching with us, so that's we're looking forward to that. So whatever you're doing, I hope you have fun. Thanks again, and go Blues, mate.
No worries, yeah, go Blues. I think we should have a good win today. Thanks,
guys. Sounds good
to me. Thanks, Dave.
That does sound good to me. Blues win over the Saints. Now, just before we go, we've got a few minutes. We've made up the time that the Masters smashed us with it at the beginning of the program. So I've got to mention, 7th of September, we've got the Carlton Tribute Dinner. Now, we run out of time with Parco because the interview was so great, but we're going to ask him about that. So if you thought that interview with Parco was great, September 7th, Champions of Carlton Tribute Dinner, not just Parco, but we've also got Wayne Johnson, assuming that he's still coming, he's a bit cruel, but Sticks, Stephen Kernan, Diesel Williams, Cooter, and Ange Christo. Six of the greatest Carlton lineup. Just going to be an amazing night, 7th of September. If you want to know all the details, you can get onto ProStar Entertainment, you can get onto the WA Blues Facebook page, you can get onto the Carlton's supporters of WA page, all of that stuff. Get in contact with someone from the WA Blues and ask more questions about it. Get a table happening. Last year it was a cracker.
Right. Yeah, it was great.
They had a few hundred people there enjoying the show and enjoying the night. It's at the Hyatt this year, 7th of September. It's going to be a cracker. Those legends. And just listening to Parco, I could just have that with him on the panel, let alone Sticks, Diesel, Wayne Johnson, the Dominator, Cooter and Ange. Well, what a great night.
Well, if you book a table, don't if you book a table for 9, you may be lucky enough to get one of these legends sit on your table.
If you book a table of 10.
Oh, 10, sorry.
And you may. Get onto the ProStar Entertainment website or get in touch with Adrian at ProStar, great guy. Also the WA Blues page. Find out more about it and get a table happening. Anyone from any footy club that's listening out there, great corporate night, getting everyone together, listening to some great premiership stories. You get so much out of these things. Very, very rare to have that many premiership players together talking footy and talking premierships. What a night it's going to be. The other thing we've got to mention, of course, today, at the Empire, we've got Sid Jackson.
Just leave that to the end there.
Just a little story about Sid. So Sid Jackson's going to be at the Empire watching the game today, Blues versus Saints. We've got the St Kilda supporter groups actually coming down there as well for a joint family day. So we've got plenty on for the kids and prizes. And they've got Verdon Howe, 1957 Brownlow medalist for the Saints, coming down there as well. So what a great day it's going to be at the Empire. Legends everywhere. 11:45 bounce down. Get down there 11:30. Book your lunch. Kitchen opens at 11, so 11:30, get down there, order your lunch. We got the specials on today, which is the chicken wingettes, barbecue or chili, one of my favourites, and me kids, and the $6 pints and $6 wines from, what is it? Not Mont Blanc. Cape whatever it is. Very nice, apparently.
Sauvignon Blanc.
I wouldn't have a clue about wines, but get on down there and enjoy the specials. Going to be a great day.
Great.
What else do we have to talk about quickly before I go, Chris?
No, I think you've done it,
mate. Yeah.
We were going to give Daisy a nice thing.
Right. We touched on Daisy, okay. So we'll leave it at that. I'd love to talk more about Daisy, heart and soul. Congratulations on a great career.
Number well done, Daisy.
Mr. Yes. Number 39, Daisy Thomas. And also, I will touch on, we didn't have it scheduled in our fixtures at the WA Blues, but we are going to do the last game now against Geelong because it's been a great end of the year. And we want to get everyone together to watch the last game of the year. So Carlton versus Geelong, round 23, also at the Empire. Get on down. It's the last time we'll have the chance to all get together. We've averaged 115-plus people at every event this year. We just want to see everyone again one more time. Yep. We love yous. We love you coming down, supporting the event, getting together and screaming for the Blues. So well done on that. Well done on today, Sid Jackson. Get on down. By the way, first prize in the raffle is a signed Sid Jackson Carlton jumper. He's going to sign it there, take a photo with you, and you can go to Master Picture Framers and get that frame. We got to go. Otherwise, the Pies are going to start screaming at the window. We don't want to be like the Masters mob, do we?
No.
So what do we say now?
Go Blues.
Go the Mighty Baggers. And they will know.